Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going to get into what has been going on with the unconstitutional, frightening deportation of Abrego Garcia, as well as the actions of the Trump administration to date, which is by any good faith characterization, defying the spirit of our Constitution and the spirit of both the Supreme Court's and a district court's orders in this case. It can only be explained that way. But before we get there, I just wanted to give a little love and acknowledgement to some incredible texters that we are hearing from for the first hour of the show. And I hope you all noted that there was a through line. We began by talking to Greg Gunderson, my colleague at WXCO out of Park Falls, about changes to Oneida County's comprehensive plan to make it easier for timber companies to clear cut, especially, you know, might be a little profit motive since we're not going to be getting as much timber from Canada. And does that make sense or does it not? Do we know what the environmental consequences of those things might be? Who is in the best place to assess those? How much influence did the timber companies have over the Oneida County Planning Commission's vote? All those kinds of things. We moved from there to talking about the lead crisis that is occurring in Milwaukee public schools, but more broadly across the state. Any building built before 1978 likely has lead paint in it. How are we going to deal with that? Are our children safe? Well, one of the things that we would do is engage in wide-scale testing of our students, sampling in buildings, engage in remediation, but we'd use that data to try to triage our approach. Well, the city of Milwaukee asking the CDC for help analyzing that data. CDC saying, nope, sorry, everybody's been shut down and our funding's been cut off. You know, that's not going to work anymore. And that wasn't just for lead poisoning. It was for a huge swath of things that are necessary to help local health departments, whether we're talking about cancer clusters, toxic substances spilled, et cetera, et cetera. All of that obviously relates together. And one of the things that it points to is, how do we know and should we believe what government officials are telling us? And I'm going to sort of skip to the punchline here. And I'm going to tell you not what my opinion is, but I'm going to tell you what my experience has been working with the Walker administration in the governor's office, working with the Evers administration in the governor's office, working for two different city of Milwaukee mayors, interacting with two different city of Milwaukee mayors, interacting with two different Milwaukee County executives, and various legislative bodies over those periods of time. I can tell you this, I'm constraining my comment only to the officials that I have personally worked for and with, and seen them in closed door meetings. I have never known an elected official, a chief executive elected official in the city of Milwaukee or Milwaukee County, or the leaders of their legislative bodies, to engage in material and persistent lies to bolster their personal political power. I have also never known Governor Tony Evers to do that. Now, is there spin because it's... Yes, of course there is. But I mean a government official or actor intentionally withholding data that is the public's, covering up data, manipulating data, lying about data, lying about basic facts. I've never seen that from any of the officials I just met. Not all of them always agreed with one another. I have seen that from Scott Walker And I believe we're witnessing it every single day from the Trump administration. So whether or not we're talking about public health, which we did for the first hour of the show, or whether we're talking about our individual right to due process, the Supreme Court has failed to grapple with the reality that the Trump administration deserves no truth-telling presumption. And in fact, everything that anybody says from the highest level of the Trump administration should be met with high suspicion. In fact, perhaps an a priori assumption that they're lying about it, because that's what's happening. I simply have never seen that ever before. I also never saw it from the federal judge that I worked for that was a twice appointed Reagan appointee to the federal court bench. Never saw him lie or shy away from the actual facts. And if the Supreme Court of the United States can't deal with that reality, what do we do as regular people to confront the reality that nothing that Donald Trump or anyone says from his administration is due even a de minimis amount of our belief? What we do is we ask to see the receipts. We take it upon ourselves to investigate, to not take what they're saying at face value. We're going to do a little bit of that on this show today. I'm going to continue to do that. Folks, you may have heard through the grapevine that this fine program is moving to the drive time slot starting next Wednesday, April 23rd. From 4 to 6 p.m. is when you're going to hear me. Once we make that move, every Friday, I'm going to have a new segment called The Worst Whopper. And I ain't talking sandwiches here. I'm going to be talking about the worst lie that has recently come to my attention, or that you bring to my attention from the Trump administration, or from Republicans in Congress, or from Republicans in the Senate, or from Republicans or Democrats anywhere in government. Because the thing that we need more now than we ever have are government officials that tell us the truth, no matter how personally costly. If it tanks their political career, so freaking be it. But right now, we need fearless truth-telling, because all of it's getting lumped up in the, well, my guy says this, and well, my guy says this, or my gal says this. It cannot be true at the same time that either Abrego Garcia is or is not a member of a violent gang. It cannot be true that a court adjudicated him to be a violent gang member and someone says a court has never made that finding. So what's actually going on here? Either the administration is engaging in one of the most despicable and deceitful violations of due process and doubling down on it by operating in what can only be called bad faith and tongue-in-cheek technical compliance. Oh, well, we're facilitating it. Why are you facilitating it? Prove that you're facilitating it. Well, we tell you we're facilitating it. We use the word facilitate all the time. See, we're facilitating because we say we're facilitating Mr. Garcia's return to the United States. But none of it's actually happening. Want to take a call, and then we're going to listen to what El Salvador's president had to say yesterday in the Oval Office, and then what our fine attorney general had to say about Mr. Garcia. Tim from Whitewater, you're up next, sir. What do you have to say?
Well, I had a question on the whole lead thing.
Go ahead, sir.
I believe that there was a bunch of money, federal money, put into doing that. My question is, has that been started? I understand wanting to do, you know, crunch the numbers and all that, but, you know, let's get started taking out the oldest pipe in the oldest buildings, and don't use the testing as an excuse to cover for not getting it done and avoid lawsuits.
Yeah, Tim, I hear you. Look, two things. One, we need to talk and separate out funding and the CDC's function as data analysts and to help public health departments respond to these sorts of crises. The second thing is what federal monies have been earmarked specifically for capital improvements in our public schools, and do they prioritize lead abatement? And those are two different questions. I do not know if any federal programs that are specifically targeted at public school lead abatement. I don't know what's going on with those dollars, but Jamie and I are both taking a note right now so that we can get back to you on that, Tim. But let me return to Mr. Garcia's case. Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate the call and the question. And yeah, listen, what sort of lead abatement, how and why, and where's the funding coming from, and is it working? All of those are right on questions. Thank you for listening, and thank you for the call. Let's take a listen to what the president of El Salvador said in the Oval Office here. And I want you to be listening for what he's not saying. Go ahead, Cal.
How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, I mean, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist to the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
But you can release him inside El Salvador.
Yeah, but I'm not releasing. I mean, we're not very fond of releasing terrorists into our country. I mean, we just turned the murder capital of the world into the safest country of the Western Hemisphere, and you want us to go back into the releasing criminals so we can go back to being the murder capital of the world? No, that's not going to happen.
Wow. And let's listen. This is Pam Bondi and the dead man walking vampire, Stephen Miller, who's the architect of Trump's deportation policies. This is them yesterday also answering some questions about this.
First and foremost, he was illegally in our country. He had been illegally in our country. And in 2019, two courts, an immigration court and an appellate immigration court, ruled that he was a member of MS-13 and he was illegally in our country. Right now, additional paperwork had needed to be done. That's up to El Salvador if they want to return him. That's not up to us. The Supreme Court ruled, President, that if, as El Salvador wants to return him, this is international matters, foreign affairs, if they wanted to return him, we would facilitate it, meaning provide a plane.
Anybody else catch what wasn't being said there? It's the 8,000-pound gorilla in the corner. I'm going to point out the most important thing that wasn't said in either of those clips when we come back, because that is the root of the root of the issue here. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked right here. Our great discussion continues. Your two cents also welcome.